The Sooners trending in a very positive direction for a 2024 defensive lineman. We'll talk about who that is on today's episode of Locked On Sooners.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Sooner Nation? Welcome to Locked On Sooners, and thank you for making Locked On Sooners your first listen every single day. We're free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And shout out to every member of the Everyday Club, the Everydayer here on the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm John Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams. My buddy here is Josh Helmer. You can follow him on Twitter at JoshOnRef. You can also hear him Monday through Friday from 9 to noon on 94.7 The Ref in Norman. And Josh, got some positive news on a 2024 defensive lineman, Zadavian Sims, who had been kind of trending toward Michigan State, was also flirting with Oregon a little bit. The Oklahoma Sooners received a favorable prediction from On3 and Sooner Scoops Josh McQuistion this past weekend, and looks like things are looking really good for the Sooners now.
Well, Josh McQuistion is going to be a name that Sooner fans trust in the recruiting sphere. So to know that it's from Josh McQuistion and On3 is a good sign, because yeah, I mean, you shift over to 24/7 Sports, and dating back, I guess, to November is when you had a series of predictions, crystal ball predictions put in from everybody at Spartan Tailgate that Zadavian Sims was going to wind up being a Michigan State Spartan. So to see this reverse the other direction for Oklahoma is good. You knew that Oklahoma was in play here, and not that this is a commitment, crystal ball predictions and On3 predictions. None of that obviously is a commitment, but somebody like McQuistion, it feels like if you thought the pendulum was in the Spartans' direction, okay, well, here's somebody that follows this very, very closely from an Oklahoma perspective and feels like that pendulum's starting to perhaps swing the other direction. If Oklahoma wasn't already seriously at play, which, John, I think we've kind of felt like Oklahoma was seriously in play here for Zadavian Sims and will continue to be so.
Yeah, the buzz started really mounting for Oklahoma in Sims recruitment, it seemed like, over the last few weeks. But as a commitment date approaches, he's planning on committing on May 20th down there at C4 Sports in Durant, Oklahoma. They're having a big pro day down there, so that's going to be a big time with, you know, national recruiting experts, recruiting analysts from the region coming to C4 and checking out the talent that's there. I mean, this is a place where, you know, Zadavian Sims, Nigel Smith, Kevin Sperry, a lot of big time, you know, college prospects from the Texarkana, North Texas, you know, Southern Oklahoma regions are training, putting in the work at the high school level to start getting themselves ready for the collegiate level. When we talked to Kevin Sperry back after his commitment just a few months back, you know, the person that he said was the workout warrior, the dude that he wanted to work out with and work out like, Zadavian Sims. So keep that in the back of your mind as this recruitment continues to unfold, because I mean, this is a priority Oklahoma prospect. He's the number two player in the state, just behind David Stone, a guy that you want to land. You want to get him on your defensive line, not as some sort of, you know, second fiddle, but he's a priority. He's a guy that you want to play because he's an athletic player. He's got great bursts. Like, you watch him on huddle and his get off on the snap is really quick. It's pretty incredible. And he can play as a, you know, a defensive end in a three-man alignment. He can play as an interior defensive lineman. I think, you know, defensive tackle is probably where he's going to fit best because he can play that three tech, that, you know, penetrating, you know, one gapper that can just get upfield, get into the backfield. But he also has the functional strength to be a two gap player and hold up the blocker at the point of attack and then read and react based on what the ball carrier does, based on what the quarterback does. So he's got a lot of versatility to him, but I think interior defensive line is where he's going to fit best. But again, this is just part of what Oklahoma is doing on the recruiting trail in 2024. They're really attacking defensive line heavily, and they're trying to find a bunch of dudes that, one, can play a couple of different positions, but are going to be able to get after the passer and control the run game as well. And this is a third, interior defensive line guy along with Stone and Joseph Jonah Ajonye that it looks like Oklahoma is now trending very, very favorably toward. And if they can land Sims, I mean, that gives them, right now we've talked about it at different times, but they've got predictions in on five, defensive line prospects now that are blue chip players for their four star or better, players in the 2024 class. And that's, Stone and Williams Donary and Joseph Jonah Ajonye and Nigel Smith and now Zadavian Sims. So you're racking up a ton of talent. And you might start to ask yourself, well, where are all these guys going to play? They want to play a rotation of guys. They want to be able to go too deep on the depth chart and have a lot of talented players to be able to get after the quarterback, Josh.
No doubt. You cannot have too many defensive linemen, especially. So, and I think these guys understand that. I think there's a draw to be a part of a great class. Everybody wants that opportunity, John, where, yes, they can step in, and if they don't play straight away, it's 1 year, and I've got a great chance to, step in and play at that point. But the reality is, probably in most situations, you're not stepping in and playing straight away. And in the best situations, you're probably not stepping in straight away and playing. And oh, by the way, there's going to be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 names that you're going to have to contend with in year 2 and 3 to go earn that job, win that job, and then perform in order to keep that job. So I think, generally speaking, most guys should be excited by the prospects of, okay, it's going to make me better being surrounded by better talent. And oh, by the way, probably it sets me up to be more successful when the guy next to me is a better player. So I would hope that most would take that approach. And Oklahoma needs a class and a couple of classes like that to where it's, maybe somebody, maybe you get into, it's a good problem to have. If maybe down the road, one guy decides, I'm going to try something somewhere else because there's too many other blue chip guys around here. But you don't have that opportunity until you bring in the type of class to where maybe that could happen down the road. You hope that that never happens, obviously, but all of which is to say you can't have too many. Can't have too many up front. And just looking at who Zadavian Sims is, probably most of you are familiar, but one thing I like about On3, since this is a McQuistian prediction here, we'll give credit to On3. They have him rated as just a 3-star prospect, but everybody else, one thing I like about On3, they list everybody's ratings right there on their website. So it's really easy and clean to see. Everybody else, 24/7, ESPN, Rivals, everybody has Sims as a 4-star prospect and as a top 200, just top 300 is probably the easiest way to say it. And a couple have him as a top 125 player. So this is, kind of judging the consensus out there, a blue chip prospect and a legit potential star blue chip prospect. So I know there's other names that folks have attached themselves mentally to up front in this class. And obviously that starts with a Williams Winery and a David Stone. But somebody like a Zadavian Sims, if this comes to fruition, John, would be a massive get for Oklahoma.
Yeah, don't sleep on Sims. Don't sleep on Day-Day. That's going to be a big, impactful player for the Oklahoma Sooners. Another unit maybe people might be sleeping on, or maybe they're really not, and that's safety. One Key Lawrence had taken an exception to some safety rankings across the country. We'll talk about that. But first, let me talk to you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. If you haven't tried it, it tastes great. It's great for you. Low calorie, low carb, low sugar, very high in protein, anywhere from 15 to 18 grams of protein. And so many great flavors from the cookies and cream to peanut butter brownie, mint brownie, coconut almond, coconut brownie chunk. Just fantastic across the board. You'll love it. Go check it out. Built.com. Use promo code LOCK15. Get 15% off your next order over at built.com. And so, Josh, who was it? It was our friends over at On3, Jesse Simonton, ranked his top 10 safety units. And, the Oklahoma Sooners were nowhere to be found. And our man Key Lawrence said, quote, tweet, LOL. And I hear what he's saying. And you want to be confident if you're a player and you want to believe in your safety group. And based on, the early returns in the spring game and just looking at the depth chart, they've got a really nice group of safeties going into the 2023 season with Key Lawrence, with Billy Bowman, with Reggie Pearson, with Peyton Bowen, with Robert Spears Jennings. It's a nice group of safeties. It's still a bit unproven, Josh.
I love that Key Lawrence is confident. I would hope that everybody defensively is confident that this thing is about to flip around and it's going to be a different Oklahoma. Defensive tackles, edge guys, linebackers, corners, safeties. Having said that, you don't get to say LOL because the LOL was Oklahoma last season defensively. That was the joke was last season, the way that Oklahoma played. So, hey, but I get it though. I'm not going to berate Key Lawrence too much because I think Key Lawrence is somebody that could have a very, very bright future. He's somebody that I was high on going into last season. The momentum sort of stymied. It slowed there a little bit with Key Lawrence, but I do think some of that star potential still in there for somebody like Key Lawrence. And look, this is in his defense a little bit here, John, though I think that certainly anywhere defensively, Oklahoma doesn't really get the chance to talk that talk until they walk that walk in 2023, just because the stats are what they were from last season. Having said that, this is somebody that has performed at the University of Oklahoma. He sees what's going on with Billy Bowman. Probably he sees what's going on with Peyton Bowen and sees what's going on with Reggie Pearson. So it does feel like the momentum is heading in a positive direction, particularly, and we've talked about this, at safety for Oklahoma defensively. So, yeah, but go earn it. Go prove it.
And I think that's the case for much of the defense. Like, you don't have a lot of proven commodities that are good to great players. That doesn't mean that they won't be. It just means that based on the unit that we saw in 2022, we're still just kind of projecting and hoping that things are going to get better. Now, you added a lot of talent in the transfer portal. We've talked about that a ton, but the proof is going to be in the pudding when they get into Big 12 play, especially when they play Texas, because that is obvious to me. That's the best offense that they might see in 2023 is the Texas Longhorns. So what they do against Quinn Ewers and Xavier Worthy and Isaiah Nayor and, you know, JT Sanders, a tight end, like, and that solid offensive line, like, that's going to be the telltale sign. And I think that they can, I said it a few weeks ago on the live show, they're going to beat Texas. Everything is just pointing to, you know, a Texas win. They're favored. They're the number one, you know, team in the Big 12 and preseason power rankings. Everything's pointing to Texas. That's just the opportunity for the team that's the underdog to go in and win that game. We've seen it over the course of the last couple decades that it doesn't matter what the records are. They are what they are, but I really think that this defense is going to go out and they're going to prove that they're ready to take that next step and continue to go on this trajectory into the top 10.
The top 10 safety units, by the way, you've got Miami number one, Michigan number two, Georgia three, Clemson four, Utah five, USC at number six. That, you know, anything defensively for USC might be a little bit surprising. Ohio State seven, A&M eight, LSU nine, Alabama 10. I'll confess, I'll cop to probably not studying the ins and outs of every single safety unit nationally. So I'm not going to comment too heavily on just the absolute, you know, the absolute greatness or failure of these rankings. But I do find it curious. A couple of programs like USC and A&M, some programs on there defensively is kind of intriguing. But hopefully for OU, they can, yes, when seasons, you know, we end this season and we reconvene, hopefully there's some defensive units across the board, whether it's, you know, edge rush, I think, has potential to be one of the nation's best. John, I think linebacker has a chance to be one of the nation's best before it's all said and done. Corner, we'll see. I'm a little more leery there. But safety, I think, would be, you know, I don't think you sign up for it to be a top 10 unit nationally right now. But I think it's got a chance if everything goes well.
A couple more interesting nuggets from the weekend. Jalen Hurts graduated with his master's degree from the University of Oklahoma. Just really cool moment for him and for the university. Like, this is a guy that has done so much just in his career over the last year. I mean, became the highest paid player in NFL history, went to the Super Bowl with the Eagles, had an MVP-like season until some injuries kind of banged him up in the second half of the NFL season this past year. Just what a great year it's been for Jalen Hurts.
It has. Somebody that it seems like has continued to work and work and work and just gets better and better and better. And what a cool story. It's somebody signs the richest contract in NFL history, right? For annual value for a quarterback. And then you flip around and you find out that, oh, by the way, they just got their master's degree as well. I'm a sucker for that kind of story. Somebody that went to school playing football, playing basketball, you know, baseball, softball, you name it, whatever. And they leave, they go do what they're doing professionally. And then, like, even Shaquille O'Neal, when he became Dr. O'Neal, was cool. I'm a sucker for athletes that don't give up on continuing their education. Probably a good lesson to be learned from myself and others that maybe we need a little more education out there. But it's a cool story, and I thought that was one of the fun nuggets this weekend.
Another fun nugget, Bob Stoops and the Arlington Renegades go off and win the XFL championship. So now he and Barry Switzer both won national championships and a professional football championship. Just a cool thing for big game Bob to pull that one out for the Renegades.
Yeah, it was awesome. And to see the Gatorade bath and the celebration and everything, it definitely brought some Sooner emotions back. To see Big Game Bob win in that arena, happy for him. I think Bob Stoops would tell you that it's been a rewarding journey regardless, but this makes it just a little bit more rewarding, right? When you go out, you win a championship. This venture that he didn't have to do from a coaching standpoint, I think this was honestly just more fun than anything. Not that he hasn't taken it seriously. It's just, I think, a little bit different than his years at the University of Oklahoma. And not to speak for Bob Stoops, he'll speak for himself weekly on the ref, but it's cool that he was able to go accomplish this and do it in a professional venue where it maybe wasn't at times as high pressure stress as OU.
Well, and you know, it's a big moment for him, but also, you know, he's a great face to have for a burgeoning organization and league because he's so, you know, easy with the media. Like, he's so personable, so easy to talk to. And when he gives himself to something, like when he, you know, like what he's done for Oklahoma, not just his time as a coach, but since he's been retired, I mean, he continues to be a face of the program. He's going to be the same thing for the XFL as it continues to try and build its brand. I mean, that's a great person to have as one of the faces of your brand because the players are going to come and go. It's not going to be like the NFL where you're going to, I mean, you might end up having some XFL lifers, but those guys will get NFL contracts and, you know, you might have a lot of turnover, but to have somebody that's going to have the stability like Bob Stoops that is going to continue to push the brand forward, that's just huge. Now, turning our attention to softball, Josh, the Oklahoma Sooners won the Big 12 tournament title for the fifth time in their last six seasons. Just an incredible performance, man. Never really in doubt. They beat Iowa State on Friday in the run rule fashion and then come back on Saturday and beat the Texas Longhorns. It was a nothing-nothing game going into the bottom of the third. Haley Lee leads it off with the home run. And then in the top of the fourth, Viviana Martinez answers with a home run herself, and then Oklahoma immediately responded in the bottom of the fourth, coming out with, you know, getting three runs on the board and then tacked on a couple more in the sixth to just kind of run away with the game. I mean, it was a really, really, I think, a great team performance on both days combined. You know, on Friday, you had the whole lineup really contributing, and the pitching staff was great throwing the one hitter combined. And then on Saturday, it was really the back end of the lineup that came through for the Sooners in that win over Texas, as the front of the lineup, your first four hitters, were held to 0 for 12. So just really showing off the depth of Patagasso's squad.
Brito and Boone coming through there in the fourth to not rally Oklahoma back, but I guess break it open in the Big 12 championship game and reclaim something that they didn't capture a season ago. You know, with all of the success that this program has had in the back-to-back national championships and the fact that all of a sudden they're four wins shy now, John, of tying the NCAA record consecutive wins mark by Arizona. With everything that this program has accomplished, they weren't the Big 12 tournament champions a year ago. That was one of the days that Oklahoma State shocked this program. So to get that back, I'm sure was a good feeling. And now you turn your attention to what everything has geared up for. Yes, they're right there. Absolutely. I want to see them get that NCAA all-time consecutive wins mark. But ultimately, the most important thing, John, is, hey, you're the number one overall seed. And go finish the mission. Go accomplish the goal, which is back-to-back-to-back national championships. You're the overwhelming favorite. John, I don't know. I mean, how many times have we had a similar conversation to this? This team might be better than each of the past two teams. It's certainly on equal footing, level footing too. So they're the heavy, heavy favorite. Now it's just go back it up. Go take care of business.
Yeah. And so the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament, Josh, they will host the Missouri Tigers, who finished last place in the SEC. Pretty incredible, actually, if you're the last place team in SEC conference play, that you can still get a at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. They'll also host the California Golden Bears, who came in, they were fourth in the Pac-12, if I remember right. Sorry, no, they were fifth, 6 in the Pac-12 regular season or conference standings. And then you've also got Hofstra, who won the CAA tournament title to get that automatic bid for the Sooners. I mean, it's not a challenging slate of games, but if you're the number one overall seed, that's kind of the way it should be. All expectations are that Oklahoma rolls through this regional round at Marietta Hines Field and moves on, you know, to the super regionals with relative ease. But, you know, California, they play out in the Pac-12. That's a tough conference. They'll be battle tested. Missouri plays in the SEC. Again, a tough conference. They'll be battle tested. So they might, you know, get a, you know, a surprise, you know, tough test from one or both of those teams along the way.
That is absolutely wild that, yes, Missouri finishes in the conference cellar of the SEC and gets in. I wonder, outside of, you know, for an at-large bid, obviously you go win a conference tournament, you get it, you get into the postseason with the automatic bid, but for an at-large berth in the men's basketball tournament, women's basketball tournament, college baseball or softball, this has got to be the only time this has ever happened, or on a very, very short list of times that this has ever happened, that you finish dead last in your conference and get an at-large bid. And honestly, John, there probably wasn't a ton of conversation about, should we leave them out? It was probably, yeah, no, they're not on the final bubble.
Yeah, it's really crazy just all the seeding that's transpired. You know, Alabama, they finished, or they're fifth in the SEC, tied for fourth in the SEC, and they got a five seed. They got the five seed as a host site in the regional round, which I'm like, how does that play out? Are we just saying that the SEC in softball is just so much stronger than everybody else? And so Texas has to sit there and, you know, what kind of seed did they end up with? Like, they're back in the teens. I hadn't even gotten that far yet when I was looking at this earlier, putting the kids to bed. But where were they? I mean, like, Arkansas got an 11 seed. Texas was a 13 seed. Like, how? I don't have any love for the Longhorns. Don't get me wrong. But how does that make sense? That sweep to Baylor was so much it doesn't seem like the run at the end of the season really hurt Oklahoma State all that much. Like, Oklahoma State had a terrible finish to the season and they ended up with the five seed, or what were they? The six seed. And then Texas all the way back at 13. That just does not make any sense to me, Josh.
Well, it doesn't reward what happened in the Big 12 tournament. That's for certain. Or, yeah, you know, end of the season's kind of crazy. Oklahoma State, to see them as a regional host, not shocking. Respect for the schedule, respect for the start, because Oklahoma State, I think everybody would agree, before the final month and a half of the season, Oklahoma State's one of the top five teams in the country, pretty unquestionably. But the last month and a half of the season, Oklahoma State wasn't anywhere close to that same team. I mean, this was maybe a team in the last month and a half of the season, John, where you look at it and say, should this team be hosting a regional? And yet here they are. They're not only, and I think they deserve to host a regional. To me, their, you know, overall body of work to me would speak to, yes, they're one of the top 16 teams. They should have a Stillwater regional. I'm surprised that they would get a super regional if everything goes according to plan. Though they got Wichita State in that regional, and Wichita State was, has been a thorn in the Oklahoma State Cowgirls side this season. So that's going to be interesting to just watch how that little storyline plays out in that regional.
And in addition, they also got Nebraska, who finished fourth in the Big Ten. So that's a really solid softball program that's going to be going to Stillwater as well. And then Maryland, Baltimore County, good old UMBC, going to show up in Stillwater too. And again, it just goes back to this, okay, Alabama as a five seed didn't get a single like Power Five program. They got Central Arkansas, Middle Tennessee, and then LIU, Long Island University. So you're like, not only did Alabama like get a five seed, but they got a really favorable group to work with in the regionals. Whereas Oklahoma State, man, I will say, I do think that the committee definitely punished Oklahoma State a little bit by giving them Wichita State, who they lost to twice in April. Like, hey, well, here you go, Oklahoma State. You didn't do well. We're still going to give you a top six seed, but you're going to have to prove that you can beat Wichita State at least once or twice to advance to the super regional round. Just wild stuff, man, from the committee this year. And that's what we're going to have to look forward to when we get to college football playoff time.
Yeah, no, it's and back to Texas just real quick before we close. If things go according to plan, Tennessee for a berth in the, you know, in the super regionals, for a berth in the Women's College World Series, that's not looking all that easy for the Texas Longhorns. So yeah, I don't know. They got a raw deal, and then Oklahoma State, you feel like they kind of got hooked up, and yet they got Wichita State in the regionals. So it's like, wait a second, that's not that easy either. So the bottom line is this. It's time to go win and take care of business. And some people probably do get a more favorable path than others relative to what their regular season says probably should have happened. But ultimately, you got nobody to blame but yourself this time of year. And there's going to be somebody that, John, got a path that maybe they shouldn't have gotten and takes advantage of it. And there's going to be somebody that we think got a favorable path and doesn't take advantage of it, because that happens every single year. So the committee, did they do a great job? No, I would not say they did a great job putting this field together, John. But ultimately, hey, we got a postseason field, and let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, and if you're wondering what are probably two of the toughest regionals going, I really, really am intrigued by the 11 seed regional, the Fayetteville regional. It's got Arkansas, Oregon, Notre Dame, and Harvard. You know, Oregon, it's a solid program. Notre Dame, that's going to bring some fight as well. And then the 15 with Utah, who won the Pac-12 championship, beating UCLA in the final, Baylor, Ole Miss, and then Southern Illinois. So just a couple of really intriguing regionals to keep an eye on. Just from a competitive standpoint, if you just are into college softball, those are probably going to be two really, really great regionals to follow this next weekend as regional play gets underway. But Josh, that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Sooners. Thanks so much for tuning into the show, our everydayers and every member of the Everyday Club. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. We're free and available on all platforms. Follow Josh on Twitter at @JoshOnRef. Follow me at @John9Williams. The show is at Locked On Sooners. We'll be back for the live show Monday night, 9 p.m. Central Time, to discuss more softball, more football, more recruiting stuff with you. Until then, Boomer Sooner.